We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a terrific Tuesday right here in Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from Cocoa, Florida, the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM. We pray that you are having a good and wonderful day. So, I pray that you are ready to grow in the Lord this week. I pray that you have those aspirations to allow God to transform you and to change you. If you would like help in that area, tonight at 6 o'clock, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It will be Advanced Christian Training Schools meets in our fellowship hall, and we'd like to extend an invitation to you to come out and be a part of that. So praise the Lord. This is a special week of celebration. We have another birthday this week. I have a number of people that are having anniversaries tomorrow. There was a birthday Sunday. There was a birthday Monday. And so this is a rough time of year for me and the scale. We can have some serious battles going on if I don't really watch it, because we can end up eating a lot of birthday cake. And so anyway, never mind all that. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. Just want to take a quick moment and remind you about our vintage service tomorrow, 11 a.m. I was talking to one of our men this week, and due to some things that have been going on, they'd been out of town for a couple of weeks, and they said, man, have we really missed being here? And one of the things that we really, really enjoy is the midweek service. We need that bump. We need that encouragement in our spirit in that midweek time. And so if you are available tomorrow at 11, we'd like to encourage you to be a part of that. Ladies, tomorrow night, not only do we have our kids ministry has been growing, and I saw, you know, just lots and lots of faces there on Sunday morning. And then Wednesday night, we even have more that come, and we feed the kids at 6, and then we get right into it. We have girls ministry. We have three different girls ministry classes going on. We have a boys ministry that we're doing. And then we also have a ladies Bible study. It was designed as a single moms, but it's kind of transitioned a little bit from that. And right now they are studying, I believe, Song of Solomon. And so if you would like to come and be a part of that, our classes meet from 6:30 till 7:45, which works really great, especially for elementary school age children, because you're able to come, help develop their character in a godly way, get them fed physically, spiritually, and then you can go home, get them cleaned up for work, and get them in bed in plenty of time to get all the rest that they need so that they will be the best students in their class. And all the parents said amen. Also, a reminder to all men, we have an Iron Men's breakfast Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. It's not a long breakfast. It goes till right around 9 o'clock. And so we'll get you out of there in plenty of time so that you can still have the enjoyable task of mowing your lawn like I'll probably be doing. And hope to see you there. We talk about men's issues and, you know, the things that are discussed in that room stay in that room. So come be a part of that this coming weekend. I will be preaching this coming Sunday morning, And then we will have our grow groups on Sunday night. Get out of that pit. If you are tired of going around the same mountain, facing the same problems, dealing with the same issues over and over and over again, God has a solution for you, and that is he can deliver you from that pit. So let's go back to Genesis 42, verse number 29. And it says, then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man who is lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, we are honest men, we are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father, one is no more, and the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan. Then the man, the lord of the country, said to us, by this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the famine of your households and be gone, and bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. I will grant your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. Then it happened, as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack, and when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more, and you want to take Benjamin, and all these things are against me. Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. What I'd like to talk to you today about is the mindset that we have. It's very important that we have the proper mindset. These, like I've described on other programs, a lot of times people are carrying around burdens of failure from decades and decades and decades ago. And so when all of this blessing ends up back at Jacob's house, the blessing that we talked about yesterday, they came back with the grain they went after. They came back with the money that they had originally took to buy the food. And then they also came back with more provisions because they had been given the provisions for the journey by Joseph. So they come back and they begin to recount the dealings that they had had with Joseph while they were in Egypt, and they begin to tell their father about everything that had taken place. And they said that Joseph had spoken roughly to them. Verse number 34, they says, and bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. That was the one thing that Jacob did not want to hear. We'll talk about that probably a little bit more here in just a moment. But I want to share with you here that the scripture says the borrower is servant to the lender. The person who has the food that you need gets to determine the price of the food. If you look in Revelation, it says that there is going to come a time when the price of food is going to be exorbitantly high, that gold is going to be of very little value, that people would trade all that they have just for a little bit of grain. By the way, I will let you know, living without food is a very short-lived project. You're not going to be able to do that for very long. So I've told you how some of the war strategies from ancient history was to cut off the food supply. I just want to remind you that that's not only an ancient thing, but that is also one of the things that has led to a modern famine in some of these places, some of the poorest places on the planet. People would come in with a desire to have a military takeover of the land, and if the people did not respond, or a way of coercing people to transform into a new ideology or a new religion, is the people would come in and they would just destroy all of the food, just burn it, level it, completely devastate the agriculture of the land. When that happens, there's going to be famine. I've heard a number of times about people who were radically transformed in a negative manner because they would see pictures of starving children from around the world, and they would say, "Does God know about this?" And the answer is, yes, God does know about this. And then they would say, well, why does God allow that to happen? And I want you to know that a lot of that is because people whose hearts are not right with God have come in and destroyed all of the supply that God had provided. And so we end up as Christians. Christians are some of the most benevolent people on the planet as far as reaching, the poor, the hurting. I love the fact that now Christians are going in, and a way of combating sickness and disease in the land is Christians in America help fund water wells in places where they do not have access to fresh, disease-free water. We go in with feeding programs and helping. One of the things that Assemblies of God missionaries do is we go into areas and we help train people with skill sets that they are going to be able to have an occupation. God not only wants you saved, He not only wants you healthy, He wants you productive. And so there's also, skill sets and help opening businesses and things like that that will develop people. And God has a way. I've heard of places in Africa where there are ministries that have gone in and they would find a church and they would make that the place where it had free internet. And so everybody who had a computer would like to come in and have contact with the outside of the world. Guess what? They come to the church. Guess what, folks? In God's plan, the church is supposed to be the focal point where needs are met. And so Joseph was able to set the terms of the transaction. He says, if we're going to do business again, you've got to bring your youngest brother. You've got to bring him. You don't bring him, you get no more food. Joseph sets the terms. When it comes to going to heaven, God is the one who gets to set the terms. And that is, if you want to spend eternity where I want you to spend eternity, then you have to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Now listen, Benjamin was his father's most precious thing. I want to ask you right now, are you willing to entrust Jesus with that which is most precious to you? Are you willing to trust him with your future? Are you willing to trust him with your relationship? Are you willing to trust him with your business? Is God trustworthy to you? Our money says, in God we trust. Do we really, really still live by that motto? I want you to know that God is faithful, that if everybody around you is faithless, God will remain faithful. But God is the one that gets to set the terms. You will not get to heaven simply by being a good person. The only way to have our sins forgiven is in the name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There is no forgiveness in any other name. And so I just want you to know, just like Joseph got to set the terms for the brother that they didn't like, but they had to do it anyway. God is the one, because he has all of the resources that you need. And his terms are not malicious. They're not hateful. They're not unreasonable. They are compassionate. God sets his terms because he wants you to be a healthy you. He wants you to be a holy you. He wants you to be a blessed you. He wants you to be the best you that you can be. And so that is the reason that he sets the terms. Why did Joseph set the terms that he set? Because he wanted a reconciliation. He wanted a reconciliation. The reconciliation and salvation of his family was the purpose of the terms. And those are the reasons that Jesus has for you and I. That's why, let's just move on. Verse 35, then it happened as they emptied their sacks that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. We talked about that on yesterday's broadcast. I want to encourage you, do not be afraid of surprise blessings. Don't be afraid of surprise blessings. Be thankful for them. And Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. You want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. And here's where I really want to begin to focus our last half of the program today, and that is, what kind of mindset are you bringing with you this Tuesday? Are you bringing a defeated mindset? I did not get to watch the golf tournament over the weekend very much. I think I got to watch maybe a couple of holes as we were just changing clothes, coming home from church, and then headed off to see our daughter. And one of the people that thought was going to make a run, I watched him have a horrible hole on hole number one. All of the hours of preparation, and he hit one bad shot, which led to another bad shot, and he ended up having an eight. And so a little bit later, once we had arrived where my daughter goes to school, I looked and I saw, oh my goodness. That guy who had started off four over par, which if you're not a golfer, let's just put it this way, that is a horrible start. That start cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars. But what I looked at was that by the 12th hole, he had already undone all of that damage and had gained a couple of shots and was in better shape than he had been at the start. He was having a better score. Now, I don't know where he ended up, but I do know this, that some people, once they get started off in a wrong mindset, that it has a snowball effect, and it just, it ends up causing them to think, this went bad, that's going bad, everything in my life is going badly. And I thought that the fact that he was able to recover and go on and have a relatively decent round of golf after having such a disastrous start was very, very commendable. Like I say, I don't know how he ended up, but he had a recovery. Jacob, this man walking in covenant with God. So I want you to see today that Christians, people who are walking in covenant with Jesus Christ, can have the wrong mindset. They can have a defeated mindset. And I'm going to be preaching to the choir here this morning, because one of the things that my wife is constantly helping me to do is constantly to have the right mindset. You know, I talk about, you know, people who treat others badly. If you think that doesn't happen to pastors, you would be mistaken. There are some things that go on from time to time, and it just like punches the button. It pushes a button in me. It's just like, and my wife has this way of bringing me back into focus and say, I am not going to live as a victim. I'm not going to have my family living as a victim. And so Jacob had this mindset, and he said, you have bereaved me. You know, everybody, you brought back all of this blessing, and it grieves my soul. He said, Joseph is no more. And he says, Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin from me. And he says, everything, all these things are against me. Can I remind you what the Word of God says? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Is God for you? Now, there are some people who wrongly assume that God is supportive of everything they do. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Joshua encounters the angel before he does battle at Jericho, Joshua approaches the angel and it says, are you for us or are you for our enemies? And the angel responds, neither, but as commander of the army of the Lord of hosts have I come. I'm on God's side. And so I want you to know that God is for you being on God's side. But it says to the crooked, to those people who are not blameless and faithful and pure, that God opposes those people. He stands in their way because they are on the broad path of destruction. He's standing there like a warning sign and saying, you can't go this way. The only way that you can go to hell and to destruction is over my dead, resurrected, and living body. You will go over me intervening and interceding on your behalf on a regular basis. So I want to encourage you today, do not have a defeated mindset, but a victorious mindset. Do not have the mindset of a victim, but as one who has been made more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. So Reuben speaks up. Verse 37 says, kill my sons. Kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him back in my hands and I will bring him back to you. And all of a sudden, there begins to be a change of mindset in the way that the people are behaving. And Reuben says, Father, everything that is mine, I will put on the line for you to make sure that you do not suffer any more loss. Reuben's name means see a son. Can I share with you that the heartbeat of Reuben there is a reflection of the Father's heartbeat. The Heavenly Father said, I do not want you to suffer loss. And so if you will entrust what is most precious to you into my hands, I will put everything that is precious to me on the line to make sure that you do not suffer loss. I want you to know that God is fully invested in you. He is fully invested in seeing you become the man of God that he wants you to be, or the woman of God that he wants you to be. A few weeks ago, a person met me on a Sunday morning. We stood outside. We talked. They were quite adamant in their things. Not a person that currently comes to our church. And I just looked at them and I said this, that you are describing, this that I'm seeing right here is not God's plan for you. It is not his best for you. And I'm going to be praying for you because God is fully engaged in seeing you succeed. God is not wanting or desiring to be a silent partner. He's wanting to be fully engaged. He wants to move heaven and earth to see you become all that you are to become. Verse 38. Jacob said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead and he is left alone. if any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrows to the grave. Jacob said, I am vetoing this plan. This son is so precious to me that I am not going to run the risk. I will not do it. Because if I experience any more loss, it's going to kill me. And I want you to know today that God is not interested in killing you. He's interested in causing you to live with resurrection power. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, quickening your mortal body. God's in the healing business. He is in the perfecting business. And so I want you to know that God is not the source of your sorrow. He is the source of your joy. He wants to transform your mourning into dancing, your weeping into laughter. So I want to ask you, you have the same power and authority today that Jacob had. And that is this. Will you veto God's terms or will you accept them? Will you say like Jacob, no, the risk is too high. One more loss will bring me down to the grave. Or will you say, you know what? I don't have anything left to lose. I will tell you that even though Jacob vetoes this originally in chapter 42, in chapter 43, he's going to change a mind. He's going to have a change of mind. God is so loving and compassionate that he keeps working on you. The Holy Spirit, I pray the Holy Spirit is working in your heart right now. Maybe you have said no to God's plan for you, plan for salvation, over and over and over and over again. But today, may God change your heart to where you say, yes, God, I will accept. I will entrust everything that is precious to me because you are going to bring me, not loss, you're going to bring me salvation. You have heaven to gain. Don't miss it for anything in the world. Father, I pray right now that instead of a defeated mindset, that you would help us to trust you with that which is most precious. Lord, we have heaven to gain and hell to shun. Thank you that you are for us today in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.